Welcome to the Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and spend a few moments with us as we share some music and dialogue with you.
Ring them bells, ye heathen, from the city that dreams.
Okay. I believe that's the end of the song. What do you think, Ryan? Is that the end of the song?
Sounds like it to me.
All right.
I could hear that song again and again.
That was Joan Baez, one of my favorites, and Mary Black singing Bob Dylan song called Ring Them Bells. So tonight we're going to ring some bells, right? Right. All right. So as you know, I'm Reverend Judy Hosner. And my daring co-host, Ryan Duncan.
It's good to be with you.
Yes. And so we're gonna do a thing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think, unless we get sidetracked. Which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, being sidetracked. I know.
It's not on the list, but we'll
it's not on the list. Okay, before we get started, I'd like to say, first of all, I'm the world's worst pitch man or pitch woman, so bear with me. Oh, geez. The Journey 8's been broadcasting for almost 4 years, and what was a simple Lenten Bible study using Skype in 2013 turned into what we have now as the Journey 8. Long road, and it's been interesting. So, I've never run to my listeners. Never once have I run to you and asked you for money. We've managed to be self-sufficient, paying for airtime and equipment privately. But recent events have changed that, and now we must come to you for help. We have started a GoFundMe campaign to help us update our equipment, which is... it's working. And let's just say we hope it works throughout the show. If not, I'll do the rest of the show in sign language, okay? Oh, wait a minute, this is radio. That won't work. So anyway, I'm sure that those listening on a regular basis know we don't announce any commercials. I have fought very hard not to put ads or commercials on the show because I think it's distracting, and Ryan and I are distracting enough.
That is so true.
So I would desperately like for you to give us a try. Go to the GoFund campaign. You can find it at www.gofundme.com, and we're under the missions and churches. I'm not going to give you the long / help the Journey 8 stay on the air. That's what it is. So do what you can.
Actually, it's not just that, Judy, though.
What?
Really, what we're doing is we're inviting all of you to join us in our ministry.
That's right. This is a way for you to say that you've had a part with the Journey 8. And, you know, everything we do, we discuss between the two of us, and we try our best, like I said, not to be like some radio stations where half of the show is give me money. I'll only make it a third of the show.
Mm-hmm. This is not about us making money. It's not about us profiting. It's about us being able to do more of the work that we want to do. So if you value the message and the theology that we present, then we invite you to invest in that by joining our GoFundMe campaign.
And there is no minimum. I don't care if you put 50 cents in there, you know, whatever you have. Join us, and maybe we can do another 4 years together. Okay, so tonight we're going to focus on the practice of giving something up for Lent. Now, don't go crazy. Don't go crazy. I'm just using that as an what do they call that? An intro. How many of you at some point in your life have been compelled to give something up for Lent so that you can have some kind of way of knowing what the sacrifice was that Jesus made? And he did give up chocolate for 40 days.
And caffeine.
And caffeine.
And sugar.
And sugar. I don't know if they had, did they have chocolate back then? Anyway, that is not true, but it was fun. Okay, so tonight, we're going to turn it around. And I believe you will enjoy what we have put together for you. So don't think of what you're going to sacrifice. We're going to do this backwards tonight. But before we get into the backwards, many of you probably don't even know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is what drives all this stuff, what they are. And you can find them in 1 Corinthians, my favorite. Well, it's my second favorite book of the Bible. And it is. Are you ready? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, being able to listen to somebody and discern or interpret whether what they're doing is right or wrong or by the Holy Spirit. If you listen to somebody and the hair on the back of your neck stands up, know that God's telling you something. Okay, speak in tongues. And the last one is to be able to interpret someone who's speaking in tongues. And of course, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is love. All the rest of them fall behind. Number one, love. All right, so here we go. I'm going to turn it over to Ryan because it's so much fun to sit and listen to him while I drink my iced tea.
So we've been talking about Lent, and we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And for me, Lent is a time for us to get closer to God or get closer to Jesus. And when Judy and I were talking 2 weeks ago about Lent, since obviously the season has already started, people have already been talking about, well, what are you giving up for Lent? And whenever I do that, which is not very often because it's not part of my tradition, nobody ever talks about what that does for us. So we all give up chocolate and we give up sugar and we give up caffeine and we give up soda and all this stuff. And it's generally some health-related thing. And we don't think about it in terms of the Holy Spirit or in terms of religious observance and what that is supposed to do for us. And so we've kind of changed what Lent is. And part of the purpose of this broadcast is to get us back to thinking about Lent in spiritual terms, not necessarily religious or Christian terms. I think atheists and agnostics can use Lent as well, but it's a way for us to get closer to the divine. So even if we're not really good with God, it's a time of year to start thinking about the Holy Spirit. And the way to get closer to the divine is generally through some sort of spiritual practice. So it's more efficient, and I think a better practice during Lent than instead of giving up chocolate is saying, how can I add something to my spiritual life that will bring me closer to the divine? And there are a whole bunch of different things you can do. And hopefully after this broadcast, you'll have some ideas. And I'm also going to try to talk about things that are not just Christian, talk about things that are also either pagan in origin or something outside of the Christian tradition, because those have been very helpful to me as well. Even though I do consider myself a Christian, I don't just do Christian spiritual practice. And I know most people in America don't do just Christian practice. Going to church and listening to a sermon on Sunday and giving some money is not really a spiritual practice. It can be for some people, so I don't want to get into that whole debate because we'll get sidetracked. But there's more to it.
Sidetracked.
We've already gotten off the rails already.
Warning.
And we're like 10 minutes into the show and we're already off the tracks. But there are lots of, so I'm going to talk about some of the spiritual practices that have been helpful to me. And one of those is centering prayer. And another is yoga, especially chanting and music, which I love. I may not be able to sing well, but I love to chant. And I have found that very helpful. So I'm going to start with centering prayer, because that's a very Christian practice. But really what it is meditation. So any of us can do it. You can do it from all different kinds of traditions. There are a whole bunch of different ways to meditate, but centering prayer is very specific. And the purpose of centering prayer is to get closer to the divine. It's about being in relationship and feeling the presence of God. And I say that because when I first started doing centering prayer, I didn't think it was working because it wasn't doing what I thought it was. So I thought it was about me clearing my mind of any kind of negativity or any kind of outside thought, that I was just a completely empty vessel. And when I was an empty vessel, then God would enter and I would have knowledge. And I didn't get knowledge from centering prayer. So what I did was I would sit in my bathtub and I would submerge my ears under the water so that all I and close my eyes so that I didn't have a whole lot of sensory stuff happening. And that was how I was able to meditate for an hour in the water. And I found that incredibly helpful. But I kept waiting for the Holy Spirit to move into me and give me a message to help me discern and help me decide what I needed to do with my life. And when I went to my pastor, I said, you know, I don't think it's working because these things are not happening. And he asked me, well, what is happening? I said, well, I get this kind of warm feeling all over and I feel like I'm connected to everything and I'm connected to God in a way that I wasn't before. Almost in some instances, it felt like I was being held in the arms of God. And I didn't think that was important because I was waiting for the message. And so for me, it wasn't working. And I almost gave up because it wasn't working. And so I give you that caveat to say spiritual practice is about your relationships and about an experience. It's not necessarily about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we just listed, because that there's more to it than that. It's not just about what we can get from God. It's about what we can give back. So it's a two-way interdependent relationship. And when you think of spiritual practices in that way, that opens everything up. Do you want to add anything, Judy?
Yes. When you're in the water.
Yes.
Never mind. God, I'm stuck. You know, sometimes visions come in your head and you just can't get them out. I'm thinking of somebody in the water with their hands in their ears and you know, a gag over their mouth. One of the things that is so important is no expectations. You do this. This is your gift to God. And the gift coming back to you, you should not expect. In other words, do not say like at Christmas with a list, I want a choo-choo train and I want a red one. With practicing in this way, you are just saying, here's my gift to you, God. I'm all yours. I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about anything but you.
Right. And so really the point of spiritual practice is to open yourself up. It's not to grasp something and try to win something or earn it, because you can't. And I'll tell you, I've had mystical experiences and I've had visions, and those have changed my life, and they never came when I was looking for them. So there is a point of grace, and we need to allow God and the divine spirit to move in us the way that's appropriate, instead of us trying to control things, because we can't. And we shouldn't think about God in those terms.
Right. I was just going to say, when we try and control God, we're off on the wrong track at that point, and you can just forget, you know, everything. One of the neat things about meditating, and I'm not necessarily talking about type meditation, although that's nice. I go to wherever my favorite park is, or there's a Buddhist retreat that has just wonderful trees, and you know, it's an escapism almost. Get myself away from the studio and the house and the phone. I don't even take my cell phone with me, and it's just me.
Well, that's the key part of meditation. You get rid of everything else so that it's just you and God, or you and whatever. You can commune with the tree if you want to, but it's you and whatever. So it's a way of clearing things. So you can't be in proper meditation or in relationship with God if you're busy all the time, because you're so distracted in your brain. It depends on your intention. You know, so if you're still thinking about God while you're doing things, then that can be an active meditation. Meditation isn't always just sitting in silence and nothing. It can be active. Lots of people walk in nature, and that's a form of meditation. So it's about understanding how it's defined and what your purpose is. And I think when you're talking about meditation, the purpose is about clearing things away so that what's important is left. And if you do that, then that's meditation. And it doesn't matter what the form is and what else it looks like. That is what meditation is.
And don't put a lot of thought into it. In other words, don't organize it ad nauseum. You know, should be natural. Whatever you do, whether you go fishing and you're sitting in the boat all day or whatever, you know, I've known people that have come to me for counseling and said, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I try. And I, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're setting up too many criteria. Just, you know, go to your park or wherever it is and forget about the rest of it. You don't need a 1, 2, 3 list.
Right. You can just set aside time and say, okay, I'm going to set aside an hour a day or 30 minutes, and I'm going to do it in this time frame so that it's consistent. And in that 30 minutes, you may be journaling. You may be recording your dreams. You might be listening to music that you find inspiring. You might be praying with icons or doing yoga. There are any number of things that you can do that will help you get closer to God. And it's important that you experiment and find what works for you, because what works for other people may not be what works for you. So I would say, if you're starting, be intentional about the time you're setting. And that in and of itself is a form of prayer.
Absolutely.
So you clear the space. And because some people really love music, and they can sing and sing and sing, and for them that's a mystical divine experience. And having sung in a choir before, I can say that that's true. And I'm not a musician, but that's still true for me. So I love being able to sing and harmonize with other voices, or even just listening to that kind of music. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful for me, because it's about clearing space for God. So sometimes either chanting or just listening to wonderful music is inspiring enough. And it doesn't always have to be Christian music, and it doesn't always have to have an inspiring message. It can be classical music. It can be anything. It can be, because it's not just about what music makes you think. It's about how it makes you feel. And that's worship as well, how your feelings and your emotions. So really, truly, spiritual practice is an incredibly broad term, and I hope you think of it in broad ways, because if you don't, it may limit you, and you don't want to do that. And I'll say it again, it's about clearing space for God to move into your life as if God's not there already, right? Right. Or recognizing God. So for me, this radio program is a form of prayer. It's ministry and it's work, but I also feel closer to the divine when I'm doing it. And that's true for a lot of things. So I think we need to be careful about how we think about it. We often think of spiritual practice as spiritual discipline, And when we think of discipline, we think of work. And so oftentimes we think of getting closer to God as being something we have to work towards, and we have to suffer, and we have to sacrifice. And I don't think that's true. I think that God's perfectly happy communing with you at a comedy club or watching a funny movie, because God's also in laughter. So I think it's important not to be too hard on ourselves and to think of it in ways that are so structured and so about our gaining something that we forget what the real purpose is, which is to be in relationship to God. God will do what we need to be done. We just need to allow for space for that.
That's great. We're going to take a break, and I just added a song to the list because I have the wand tonight. I have that magic wand tonight. Ding! And I'm going to ask the engineer, and this is a song we play all the time, but I think it's really appropriate right now. It's called The Gathering of Spirits, and of course it's Carrie Newcomer, and yes. And I'll tell you at the end of the song. Go!
Let it go, my love, my truest. Let it sail on silver wings. A life's a twinkling, that's for certain. But it's such a fine thing. There's a gathering of spirits. There's a festival of friends. And we'll take up where we left off.
So that was Carrie Newcomer. And one moment, please. While I process that request. I can't, Alison Krauss. I've only played this song 150 times. And, you know, my mind is just like crazy. And who's to say God isn't peeping? A peeping Tom.
We have just gone right off the rails.
Okay, tonight's show was about the spirit. Now, you know, Brian and I have a tendency to slap each other, you know, and go back and forth. But here's the thing. I had to play this song, even though it wasn't on the script, because sometimes God works by just kind of jolting your little memory and saying, I want you to play this song. Now, we're still going to play the song that's on the script. We're just going to talk less. Okay, Ryan, it's your turn.
Oh, wow. We just kind of sank right into that. So you can tell that we're not trained, you know, broadcasters, or we would have a lovely segue that would be really smooth.
Ain't going to happen.
So before I start, now would be a good time for somebody to call in if they're so inclined. You can reach us at 888-627-6008.
Call us.
Yes, we would love to have a chat with you. But until then, I'm just going to keep talking. And I know, I can be so boring. That's what everybody says in class. But
why is he doing that? Wait.
So I have found that spiritual practices can be really helpful.
Go ahead.
So the question really is God a peeping Tom? And we can go off the rails and discuss that.
Okay, let's go off the rails. First of all, for the person who's asking about that, as I did answer, God is omnipresent. Omnipotent, omni whatever. That means he is everywhere at every time. Now, does that make him a peeping Tom? I don't know. He sees everything.
The question is, does he enjoy it?
Can we tell God not to be there? We can. Unfortunately, there's a what do you want to call it, Ryan, when we tell God not to be there? There's only two things in which you can tell God, or two. If you tell God not to be there, he will not be there forever.
That's true. You can ignore God. And I don't know if God ever, I wouldn't say that God ever goes away. I think that God's love for us is unconditional. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God goes out of her way to make herself known to us. So that's the difference, really.
And, you know, there are moments that you can keep right. In other words, God doesn't sit there and watch you like a television. Think about it. There's how many billion people on this earth and who knows how many other earths. I think God has bigger things. However, he hears when you need him.
Yes.
So is he ever present? Of course he's ever present. Is he watching every little move you make? Absolutely not.
Right, because God could care less. I don't think God cares if you're smoking or... I just don't think God cares about a lot of stuff.
He cares, I don't know,
if you're loving and if you're a good person and if you treat people well. But
I don't know if it's he doesn't care. It's just that is not his job. His job is not to watch every little move you make and say, oh, you know, I think he's bigger than that. He's obviously bigger than that. But because he is omnipresent, ever present, you cry out to him. He will be there. And if you haven't watched the movie yet, The Shack, I strongly encourage you to.
So, and this all kind of ties into what we were talking about spiritual practices. Because then the question is, does God care if you're doing spiritual practices? And I don't think that God really does. I think we do them for us, and I think we do them so that we can be closer to God. But I don't think that anything that we do really changes things, if I'm making sense. I think what the spiritual practices and the things we do help us. We don't get brownie points with God for doing it, right? So it's a way for us to feel closer to God, but I think God is always present. So it's more of a reminder for us that God is there, not a way of currying favor with God so that God shows up, right? And so I think that it's important to recognize that if you're of a theology where you want to get extra credit, that spiritual practices are probably not going to be the answer for you. It's a way for you to become more spiritually mature and for you to be closer to the divine, and so that you feel comfort and you feel secure and you feel loved, which I think is really at the heart of religious practice. It isn't about... Go ahead.
Well, you know, this whole thing about Judy not being able to hear herself, because I keep forgetting to turn my earphones on. This whole thing about meditation, spiritual practices and stuff is a means by which for us to be quiet enough and shut our mouths long enough to hear if God is talking to us.
Right.
You know, and so does he care? Sure he cares, but you know, going back to the question, is God a peeping Tom, or, you know, can we tell him not to be there? He's not, like I said, he's not watching TV and you're the star. He's got bigger things to do, but will always be there if you call out to him. I hope that answers your question, number caller, Mr. Caller, Mr.
I do always appreciate getting calls in. It's good fun. And it keeps us honest, doesn't it?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that we have done our work and we've written these scripts, and do we really know what we're talking about? So it's nice to have people call in and try and, glean information from us. Are we really who we say we are? I don't mind being tested, and I don't have every answer. There is no way, but I'll give you the answers I have. It might not be what you want to hear.
But the thing is you can go, hopefully we can give you enough resources that you can find the answer for yourself.
Sure.
Because we're not the experts. We may be experts to a point, but we're not the experts. I don't think any one person can claim that, and I don't think they should. So we both agree quite strongly that it's about you finding your own truth. And I think that that's what we're called to do as spiritual people, is to do our own spiritual work in that way. And I say that because spiritual experience is really important to me. When we talk about theology in the academy, we talk about scripture being super important. And then we talk about the opinions and the interpretations of our church fathers and those that have gone before us. And when we get to experience, it's generally at the bottom of the list. Which is why I don't do so well in the academy, because I tend to put my experience at the top. So when I was coming out, I had a certain understanding of what God was based on what Christians told me and from the scripture verses that they gave me. And when I had my mystical experience and I could say that I was in communication with God, God was nothing like Christians told me. So the only way that I could become a Christian is if I recognized that my experience of God was more important than scripture. So that's what I go with, and I invite you to do the same thing. Not that scripture is unimportant, and not that our traditions are unimportant, but that your experience trumps that. And that may make things really confusing, but it means that you're kind of the master of your own spiritual universe. And therefore, you are kind of required to do your work, which means you need to experience God for yourself and do your own study and then interpret it for yourself.
And that, my dear, is why there's so many denominations of religions, and there's so many different views, shall we say, because each person is going to experience God in their own way. I have been doing this for over 20 years, and I will tell you, I am not a scriptural master by any means. I know John 3:16 by heart. And the reason for that is my study was history. And so, I did the other stuff too. And I know where in the Bible generally to look for something, but I go, like you, by experience and the Holy Spirit. What tells me to tell somebody, that's asking me questions or whatever, is the Spirit.
And that's why our spiritual practices that we're talking about are so important. Because that is what gives you that direct connection and that relationship. And without that, then you're kind of working blind. And I think a lot of people don't recognize the spiritual experiences that they've had. So they tend to not recognize when God has reached out to them. For example, I remember being 16 and I was living in Northern California. And so we were up by the redwoods, and I remember this experience when I went to sit under the redwoods. And if you've never seen a redwood, they're really, really tall. So I was sitting on the ground looking up into the sky, and I couldn't even see the top of the trees. That's how tall they were. And I was with other people, and I got to this place where I was meditating, where I felt like I was one with everything. And where time had stopped. And I had no idea what that was, because I had never experienced anything like that. So when it was over, I forgot about it, because I didn't recognize the moment for what it was at the time. And that was God reaching out to me through nature. I was one with the universe. And that's a rare and beautiful gift. And it didn't help me until many years later because I didn't understand what it was. And I think that there are a whole lot of people where experiences like that have happened and they didn't realize what it was because it didn't fit their understanding of God.
Well, a lot of times, look at my voice, it's going all over the place. A lot of times, too, is you may have not a good connection with God at the time. Something happens, something mystical happens to you. And so, like Brian says, you don't identify it. And maybe it'll take you years later, or maybe you'll never identify it. You know, things like you're going to step off a curb and a car is going to hit you, and for some reason you step back. Now, mm-hmm. is that coincidence or is that God?
That's right.
You know, so think about times in your life where, hi! Oh, sorry, there was somebody walking by the studio. think about times in your life where you've just felt like something weird's happened, out of body. You're laying in bed trying to sleep, and all of a sudden you're somewhere else. That's God trying to rock you to sleep, you know? And so on and so forth. So here's what we're trying to say in a nutshell kind of way. Don't limit yourself to what you may have heard by radio and TV evangelists, by your church when you were 6 years old. Open the gates and be less restrictive than that. God isn't a person or a thing or a spirit of rigid requirements. Look at what he or she has created. Look around you. And how can you say that God is stand up, sit down, say this, say that kind of God? Now, does he appreciate it? Sure he does. But don't limit yourself. Open your spirit up and see what happens.
Right. I mean, God is the creator of the universe, not just of humanity. And I think that in that respect, all of nature is also part of God's family, and we're all God's children. And why would God want to stay connected to us and not to a tree or a rock? So I think it's really valid to recognize the divine in all of God's creation, which is in nature. It's in each other. And we don't often talk about God being seen in our friends and our family. But how many times have you prayed to God for something and then the answer came through your family or through a friend who said the right thing at the right time? I had a friend whose birthday was 2 weeks ago, and I left something for her on her desk at school, and she didn't see it till today. And she told me that she had had a really bad day today. And when she saw the gift I left for her, it just made her day. And so I could be upset that she didn't get it on her birthday, or I could say, oh, this was the Holy Spirit moving her to get something that she needed today. So in a very, very real way, I can say I was an answer to her prayer. And we often forget that we're the answers to prayers and not just God. And we're all instruments and we're all gifts. And so God works through us. And because of that, we can see God through each other in our interactions. So not everything that we think of as being prayerful is really a prayer. I could say, for example, I know a lot of people who've gotten really tired of church and they don't go every Sunday. And they'll post on Facebook that they're having brunch with their girlfriends and drinking mimosas, and isn't that wonderful? And I'm jealous because I think I want to do that. I sat through a boring sermon and some boring hymns, and my friends were out having mimosas without me. And what I've recognized is that those people are finding God in those moments. Mm-hmm. And they may not find it at church. So they go and find it somewhere else. So I should not begrudge them that, because they're doing what God wants them to do. They're staying connected through God in ways that are not Christian or are not in the church. And that's what we're trying to tell you, is that God's everywhere and in all things. And it's really easy to say, oh, well, those people aren't doing the hard work. They're being lazy and they're going out and to brunch when they should be at church working. And that's a mistake. And I think there's a certain arrogance to that and a certain resentment, because we'd rather be out there having brunch too. So I think it's perfectly valid for you to be a good Christian and skip a Sunday and go have brunch.
Well, and here's the thing. God created us as creatures of choice. We have the ability to choose. And so they chose that Sunday to go have brunch. You chose to go to church. No one made you go to church that Sunday. So is it fair to be jealous? Well, no, because quite frankly, you could have taken off and gone hiking or rock climbing or whatever. There's nothing in the Bible. I'm going to tell you this, and I know it. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to go to church every Sunday.
That's true.
And there's nothing in the Bible that says God's going to, you know, record that you didn't go to church on Sunday, March, whatever, and you're going to pay for it. You're not going to pay for it unless you were doing something, you know, against him. But, you know, the whole idea is that, and I've been big on this for 4 years, almost 4 years now, if you are not comfortable finding God in church, then find him through us or through some other way first and get yourself comfortable. And then you'll find that there are churches that are progressive and different than what you were raised with. But, you know, don't do the shock treatment. It won't work.
That's right.
So we started this whole
thing tonight with this idea that we're going to talk about certain spiritual practices and tell you how to do it. And we kind of shifted, obviously. We fell off the rails anyway, because it's more important for you to understand what the Holy Spirit feels like so that you can experiment for yourself. I would hate for you to go out and try centering prayer, because that's what we spent our time talking about, and then have it not work for you and then think that nothing else is going to work. There's all kinds of things that can work. There are millions and millions and millions of people that do meditation, and there are many different kinds, and that's a good place to start. But it's also quite easy to get in our headspace about things, so we may choose not to start to do centering prayer, for example, until we've read a book on it. You don't need to read a book. You just need to go do it. So I would recommend that you go out in nature and see if that works for you, to be quiet and to be still and to really feel nature and allow yourself to be still, to not think about all the things you have to do later in the day, but give yourself that time to experience nature, to experience the grass and the trees, and to really be present in that space. And when you learn to be present with nature, it'll be much easier for you to be present with God and with other people. So that would be what I would recommend you start with.
And I recommend journaling. Journaling, and not journaling about what a crappy day you had. You know, that's a separate journal. Journaling about your feelings. Are you angry that day? Are you sad that day? Are you happy? You know, and bring it around to where at some point when you're writing, I'm just saying this is what works for me. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody else, but you bring it around to where you're at peace with yourself. And when you're at peace with yourself, like Ryan has said, then you're open to hearing what God might have to say to you. And it might be one word. Let me tell you, most of the sermons that I have written have been because God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which did not make me happy, told me to go down to my studio, and within 10 minutes, I had written the sermon. Now, is that me? That is definitely not me. If you knew me, you would know that it takes me forever to write anything. That is God saying, here, I want you to say this. And so I call it the God phone when he wakes me up like that, because it's like the phone going off in my brain. And sometimes that'll be the way it is for you. You know, you might find that, you know, you're walking along and, wow, you know, what a great waterfall and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, God's going to say, go over to that rock over there. And you're going to go over there because you think it's kind of like just something that you'd, you know. Don't misplace God's words for a feeling of, I don't know, what would you call it, Ryan? A feeling of impetuation or a feeling of, I'm just going to go do this, you know, kind of thing.
So I will say before we close for the night that finding a spiritual director is incredibly important if you want to undertake a spiritual life and you want to develop spiritual practices. Find yourself a spiritual director. They generally meet once a month with you. It's not therapy. What a spiritual director will help you do is they ask you questions about God in your life. So they'll ask you, how is God working in your life? And how do you see God moving through you? Because they recognize that God is, and they help you identify God in your life. And that will be very helpful for you, because they can help you find spiritual practices that work for you. And they can help you identify God moving through your life when God is, which is often. So I would encourage you, if you have found what we've been talking about helpful, to find a spiritual director.
No. Yeah. We've run out of time already, sort of. Maybe one of the last things I wanted to say again was to encourage you to go see my lovely picture laughing on GoFundMe. I'm sitting in front of a microphone laughing, and I don't even remember why. Somebody obviously told me a joke or something. And, you know, I'll take a look at what I wrote up. So we're going to play our last song, which is Awake by, help me, Ryan.
It's not Fran McKendry, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we'll say Fran McKendry.
And, it's an interesting song, and then we're going to say goodnight, and God bless you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
God bless.
Thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. Please come back again, and remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Reverend Judy Hosner.